You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This podcast is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
I mean, I don't even know if we should be talking about Voyage AC. Ever since Oprah put their bubble bath on her favorite things list this year, they cannot keep their incredible products on the shelves.
I mean, that's amazing. Wait, right? did you already order our candles and bubble bath that we're giving your mom?
I did. But don't worry.
Oh, good.
They still have beautiful gifts for everyone on your holiday list. I mean, Voyage AC has gorgeous face and body products for every age, every gender, beautiful scents, incredible candles and scents for the home, and this luxurious bubble bath.
Oprah's favorite,
that's right. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find Voyage AC on our brand new website at theonlyonepod.com, or you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VoyageEtcie.com.
And even during the holidays, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now. That is 10% off everything you buy.
Even the bubble bath.
Right.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel design and scents.
This podcast is supported by Cute Booty Lounge.
Oh my God, hon. I'm obsessed with the latest episode of Behind the Booty.
Behind the Booty with Kelly Nishimoto.
That's right. And for those of you who don't know, our season 11 sponsor, Cute Booty Lounge, is Kelly Nishimoto, is doing her own podcast called Behind the Booty. And we love Kelly and CBL so much that we've been bringing you some of the first episodes of Behind the Booty exclusively right here on The Only One in the Room. Look for it on Thursdays for the next few weeks.
Cute Booty Lounge is made right here in the USA by women and for women. The company is incredible, female and minority owned.
And everything they make makes your booty look amazing. Their leggings have these super cute patented scrunch butt pockets, and they have a fit for everyone. I mean everyone. So you can order a pair for anyone on your holiday list.
So avoid that crunch and head to cutebooty.com right now and enter the code TheOnlyBooty to get 15% off your first order. And like Laura said, they have a style and size for everyone, even me.
And 15% off is a... Wait, even you?
Yes. Those new men's pajama bottoms you ordered from me are perfect. So head to cutebooty.com and enter the code TheOnlyBooty to get 15% off your first order. And don't forget to tune in on Thursdays for a new episode of Behind the Booty with Kelly Nishimoto. Embrace your body. Love your booty.
So, hey, we've been making this podcast for over 2.5 years.
What?
Yep, thanks to listeners like you. And from the gate, people have asked us for merchandise or additional content or even some hang time with me and Scott.
That's weird.
It is. But we think we have a solution for you.
Yep, we are excited to announce that we have a new Patreon page.
Yeah, and you know how people are patrons of the arts? Well, in this case, we're the arts.
Hmm. And by becoming a Patreon, you'll get bonus content, access to outtakes that the general public will never see, extremely cool merch, And depending on what tier you get on, a monthly hang time with Laura and I.
Yep. And it all starts at just $5 a month.
That's nothing.
Right? Not per day, not per week. It's only $5 per month.
And you're guaranteed merchandise.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So click the link in the show notes to read about the different tiers and see what great stuff you can get. Become a podcast patron. Join our Patreon today at www.patreon.com/theonlyoneintheroom.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the only book lover in the room who started a publishing company. You know, I lost my best friend on 9/11, and we had been roommates all through college, and I had just left her 2 weeks before to go to business school. And then she died. She worked in one of the towers. So that trauma sort of changed the rest of my life. And I decided, if I'm going to die at my desk, like I believe she did, I have to be doing something that is all me, that like nobody else can do. I mean, in truth, everybody has a story. This is life. How could you get through life without story? So if you turn that into a book, that's just one way of getting down your stories.
I'm probably one of the few people I know who still looks forward to my Sunday newspaper, not a digital copy that I read on my phone, but the real finger-staining, loud crinkling, section-by-section newspaper. The Sunday paper for me is a treat to be enjoyed while lounging in bed and sipping hot lemon water. So one day when we were going through all of the Only One stories that are being submitted to us, thank you for those, by the way. We love reading them. It was Scott's idea to record and release a few of them occasionally, but always on Sundays, and call them our Sunday edition. And because they're only 30 minutes long, our hope is that you can enjoy them while sipping your morning beverage, going for a walk, or even just enjoying a lazy Sunday at home. Please enjoy today's Sunday edition and be sure to listen every Tuesday when we drop another brand new episode of The Only One in the Room. So we are here talking with Zibby Owens today. Hey, Zibby.
Hey, Laura. How are you?
Oh, it's so good to see you. And Scott and I want to just point out that you are sitting in a room full of books that is not a Zoom backdrop. This is a room lined with more books than anyone could ever possibly count. And they're color-coded, which is amazing. Amazing. Tell me, Zibby, what is the first book you ever fell in love with?
First book I fell in love with was Charlotte's Web because it was the first book that made me cry. And even last week, I wrote an article, Books That Made Me Cry. I guess I really like crying. But anyway, I love when books make me feel and think. And Charlotte's Web was the first one that really touched me to my core.
Yeah. Did you cry just when Charlotte died or did you cry other times in the book?
I just cried at the end.
Yeah, me too.
But I remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And did you like the movie?
No.
It didn't measure up, did it?
No. Books are always better than the movies.
Thank you for that. Thank you. That was a great answer. And I felt exactly the same way. I'm Laura Cathcart Robbins. This is the only one in the room, but I'm never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, honey. So like I said, we're talking to
Can I call you guys honey too, or it's just...
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Please. No. Watch out. You never know.
Join in the hun. I mean, you know.
So yeah, Zibby Owens, this is who we're talking to. She's the creator and host of the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Zibby, named NYC's most powerful book influencer by New York Magazine's Vulture, conducts warm, inquisitive conversations with authors, making her daily show a top literary podcast as selected by Oprah.com in 2019 and 2020. Zibby is the co-founder and CEO of Zibby Books, a publishing home for fiction and memoir. She's also the CEO of Moms Don't Have Time To, a media company with multiple podcast publications, communities, the Zibby Awards, and two anthologies, Moms Don't Have Time To, a quarantine anthology, and Moms Don't Have Time To Have Kids. I'm sorry. That's the best title ever. A timeless anthology. Welcome to the show again, Zibby.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, Laura.
Yeah, me too. I ask all my guests before we start how they identify.
I identify as tired.
Yeah. That is it. That's all we need. All right. Thank you for that. I'm going to start with something that I really connected with in your story. And that was going through your divorce while you missing your children. somebody said to you, I don't know who it was, with a good book, you'll never be lonely. Can you tell me about how books pulled you through that time in your life?
That was my therapist. Okay. So she got her money's worth out of that session for sure. Yes. Or I got my money's worth.
Yes, you did.
Yes. No, I'm kidding. I adore her. But she said that to me because I found it very difficult to go from the constant chaos of my life with four kids to suddenly having all this downtime and quiet time. Even the fact that my house was quiet was very unnerving. I mean, I'm laughing, but it was sad. It was a really tough adjustment. And I was, you know, just trying to find my footing in this new life for myself at age 40. And my therapist reminded me how much I love to read because I would always talk about it, which was probably not the best use of my therapy time. But anyway, and so she reminded me that with a good book, I'd never be lonely. And so I kind of made a conscious effort at that time. Like, okay, you know what? You're right. I love to read. I'm just going to double down on that. Now I actually have time. I'm in. And then it's true. Books helped me through that time so much and all previous and subsequent times too of any challenge. I feel like I can remember what I was reading in the most emotional moments of my life. And books are the things that are the through line for me.
Were there any books in particular that were helpful?
In fact, this is basically the whole premise of my memoir, which is coming out next summer.
Yes.
Were there any particular books that were helpful? Sometimes it's not the content, it's the emotion behind the book. So for instance, Claire Bedwell Smith's book, The Rules of Inheritance, was about the loss of her parents. And my parents are alive, fortunately, but the sense of loss, regret, anger, all of that stuff played in and really helped me through a series of losses. So there are different books for different times, but as long as it gets to that feeling of being able to overcome something, I find it very helpful.
Well, because grief is grief, right? And that translates. I completely understand that. And I've had a really similar experience. I know that some people think about trying times in their lives and they remember songs, which I do as well. But mainly it's the book I was reading then. And a couple of times when I was trying to detox myself while I was still an active addict, I was reading Postcards on the Edge by Carrie Fisher at night to try to keep myself away from doing something that I knew would put my kids in harm's way, you know, that I wouldn't be able to be present for them. So if I could stay away from drugs and alcohol, I would read this book and that would get me through. And that's what I did. I read that book more than once during that time.
Wow.
And it also felt like I had a pal kind of going through it with me because she was having a similar experience.
Ironically, Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billie Lord, blurbed my anthology. She's on the cover.
Really?
She's a friend of mine. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Her writing and her wit and the honesty, right, with which she wrote was really important to me. And those were always the books that were important to me. I wanted to talk about so much. We don't have that much time, but moms don't have time to have kids. Moms don't have time to read books. Moms don't have time to quarantine. Moms don't have time to write. Your podcast, it started as a lark, right? Wasn't it? Like, tell me about that before I go any further with that.
Yeah, I was always a writer. I always wanted to be a writer. That wasn't my full-time job. I had marketing jobs and I loved to work in startups and blah, blah, blah. I went to business school, but in my heart, I was always a writer. And I was starting, again, after this divorce, I had a lot more time. So I was reading and writing. And I wrote a couple articles, particularly one that went somewhat viral called A Mother's Right to Sanity, about how I just like had it up to here. And I just, the unrealistic demands of motherhood, I just couldn't take it anymore. I was like, this has got to stop. And I started writing lots and lots of essays, and my husband, ended up getting remarried, although not then in the story, but eventually. Anyway, I was dating my husband, Kyle, at the time, and he said, you know, you should really take all these essays you're writing and make them into a book. And I said, ugh, moms don't have time to read books. I was like, oh, that's so funny. I'll make that the title of my book. But I sort of shopped that idea around to a few agents I knew, and they didn't think that publishers would find that funny. So I abandoned that idea. And also I talked to an agent who, I didn't have a platform, blah, 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 essays don't sell. And so I got all this feedback, and what did I know? So I talked to another friend who said, well, why don't you start a podcast? And I was like, well, what's a podcast? Why? This was in the beginning of 2018. And of course, I had heard of what they were, but I am not a quick adopter of things like that, nor did I have time to be listening to podcasts back then anyway. Right. So I thought, well, what would I even do a podcast on? And then I thought, well, I'll just use that title And if that's the title, what would the show be? So at first, I wanted to just read essays. So I started out by reading my own essay. I thought I'd read this. I'm always like ripping essays and articles out of newspapers and magazines and sending them to friends or forwarding them. And I thought, oh, I'll just read them. That'll save people time. But then I found out that was illegal. So I abandoned that and thought, well, I'll just talk to the authors directly. And I only knew about four authors, but I thought I'll just give it a try and see what happens.
This was 2018 that the Moms Don't Have Time To brand was created?
Yeah.
Wow. I must have known that, but I'm thinking it was longer than that because it's so big and because so many people know about it. That's a really huge jump from sitting on your couch thinking about this might make a good title to what you created.
I know. Right? I mean, literally at dinner last night, my father-in-law was sitting there and he was like, I saw you on GMA. And I was like, yeah, and I have Good Day LA tomorrow. And actually being interviewed by CNN. And he was like, who are you? And I was like, right? I mean, what is going on? So I think we're all just on this crazy, funny ride that things have happened relatively quickly. It doesn't feel quick because I work really hard all the time and I have for almost 4 years on this one initiative.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like any sort of overnight anything, but I will say the trajectory has definitely amped up lately.
I have a few quotes and I actually didn't write down who said them, but they're about you. Oh. One is Zibby is hitting this sweet spot of women who are the right age, who are at the right place in their lives. And these women buy books. And in a landscape of at least 100 literary podcast options, Zibby is locking down the heavy hitters. And then her audience are influencers, to use a really overused term, it says, which makes Owens, you, the uber influencer and a very energetic one. And I mean, that energy that you have, Zibby, that enthusiasm, like you identified as tired at the top of this. but the moment you started talking about the books you love, the moment you talked, you know, even about Charlotte's Web, the whole, like the molecules change, like you could feel it. It's visceral.
No, you're right. All of what I do gives me so much energy. I joke because I really don't sleep very much. None of my kids, I mean, it's not like that I don't want to sleep. It's they all wake me up all the time.
Right.
but yes, the stuff that I'm, that's why I do it so much. I mean, I didn't have a business plan for this. I had actually just helped my in-laws start a crumb cake business before this endeavor. And for that, I got a lawyer and I made a business plan and projections and I used Excel and I did a PowerPoint and like I had the whole thing. But for this, I was like, this is fun. I'm just going to do it. And if it ends up being something that is profitable or becomes something more, great. But I don't see that path. I'm just going to like keep doing what I'm doing.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast. where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
I read exactly what you were talking about. Like, I'm always reading essays to people and sending them. And we started a segment of The Only One in the Room where I just read something that I love. And one of the things I read recently was your Advice to Writers article.
Yes, thank you for that.
Right. Well, no, thank you for that. I've gotten a lot of feedback on it.
Really?
First of all, out of the woodwork, all of a sudden everybody wants to write a book. I don't know if you've had that experience.
I am well aware of that. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Everybody has an idea. My dad actually called me, and sorry, Dad, for putting you on blast, but he's like, do you have a pen? He called me. And so I'm like, yeah. So I started writing stuff down. He's like, can you write that? I'm like, no, this is your book idea. But like, so people for whom this is all a mystery, right? From the page, it's like a little bit like the podcast thing. Like, you know, there's a podcast out there. How do you get it into your ears? How do you get a book from the page of your computer into an agent's hands, into an editor's hands at a publishing house? How do you get them to love it? How do you get them to read it? All that stuff. And it's a whole process that I think one has to have experience with, which is why I loved your article.
Funny enough, we are launching a podcast called Reality Publishing from Book Deal to Bookstore. So you're the first to hear that. I should probably have not announced that, but I will be dealing with announcing it soon because that's what we're doing and I'm really excited about it.
Oh, it's such a great idea. I will be sharing it every time you release. I will share an episode with all these people. Well, hopefully they'll just be listening to it on their own by then, but I will be sharing that for sure because it's one of the questions I get asked most. So yeah, so your article, which everyone should read, it's on my nightstand. It'll be in the show notes of this episode. But, you know, you have a tremendous amount of trials and tribulations. You did not write something and then immediately a publisher snatched it out of your hand and published it. So I'm tying this into your journey to getting published and then why you started a publishing house of your own. So can you kind of tell me that story?
The quick version of my getting published, or rather my getting rejected a million times and then getting published, which I'm still almost embarrassed to admit, is
so good,
that
though.
I lost my best friend on 9/11, and we had been roommates all through college and then after college. And I had just left her like 2 weeks before to go to business school. And then she died. She worked in one of the towers. So we don't know exactly how. But so that trauma sort of changed the rest of my life. And I decided, I had been on like a marketing branding kick, and I decided, sitting at my desk that summer at an ad agency on the Pepperidge Farm account, I was like, if I'm going to die at my desk like she did, like I believe she did, then I can't be marketing Pepperidge Farm cookies. I have to be doing something that is all me, that like nobody else can do. So that was back in 2002. It's taken me a little while, but here we are in 2021, and finally I'm doing that. I wrote a novel and a memoir and then a novel, and I tried to write that story of what happened over 9/11 in many ways after I graduated from school, and it ended up not selling. The agents, I had an agent, but the publishers then said it was too soon, blah, 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 after 9/11. So I ended up ghostwriting a book for fashion and fitness experts. So I did get a book published at the time, and it said with me, you know, which was nice. I got to be on the cover. But I have since then tried to sell different iterations of this same story, and I've done it in so many different ways. And I was actually just on this grief writing panel, and I was like, I feel like if I just tell the story enough, I'll be able to come to terms with it or something. Like, I just keep chipping away at it, and by writing it over and over again, not that it's necessarily successful, but it's sort of how I try to make sense of the world. So that got rejected a few times in proposal format. And I didn't even try to sell some of the novels that I have in a drawer that riffed on that topic. I
can't believe you have that many completed works. So that's crazy.
Well, they're like iterations. And then finally, I sold this memoir on proposal last year that's coming out in July that I'm really excited about. It's going to be called Bookends, A Memoir of Love, Loss, and Literature.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm hoping it helps people when it comes out. So that's my publishing story. And then starting a publishing company, I think it came also out of this, like, this is something that I have wanted forever, right, to be published. And then once I, like you were saying, once the curtain was sort of pulled back on the publishing industry and I realized some of these deep-seated issues and dissatisfaction in different areas and structural problems, I sort of put my MBA hat and creativity hat back on and was like, well, could I do this differently? So I thought about it for a long time. I almost did it a year ago. I stopped in my tracks at the last second because I just wasn't ready. And then I partnered with Lee Newman, who's amazing, and I love her, and she did have experience in this area. And I'm like, we're going to try it. We're going to do like a wish list publishing firm and exactly what I would want. And hopefully it'll just work.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying a million ideas, and some of the ideas may not be successful, but I think the passion and excitement we have behind the brand, if nothing else, is really energizing my team and the authors, and the books we're acquiring are amazing. And I'm really excited about it.
I'm really excited about it too. And can you tell me a little bit of what makes it unique?
First, we're having a profit sharing setup because we think all employees in the company are equally important to the success of a book. So we are sharing in equal measure any profits over and above expenses, right? So after the advances have been earned out, all that stuff. And also we're including the authors in that. So we're creating classes of authors. There will be 12 books a year. So I want to have like the class of 2024, and I want to have like a little yearbook and, you know, make people have a sense of community. Because I do think that's one of the major things that's missing among other publishers is like a series of books. But these books are people. So we are creating a team of people. We are creating authors. We are investing in the person and not in the book. So we're doing great, fun things. We're having editorial office hours and writing workshops and social media training and publicity training. And we have Zooms with all of our employees and all the authors to check in and talk about new initiatives. And what do you think about this and this partnership? And we're also launching this line, not a line, but book ambassadors all over the country who want to help us. So if anybody's interested, you can sign up on zibbybooks.com. Women who have relationships with their indies or just have an indie that they love, that they can talk about, and a community in which they are the person who loves to read or they're the ones recommending books and they want to help out by spreading the word or hosting a book club or hosting an event or just emailing friends or whatever they can do. So that's another thing. And there are a bunch of other things like having book champions where influential authors partner with people for an equity stake in the book and an indie bookstore advisory panel, an author advisory panel. We're going to produce this podcast, you know, all sorts of fun stuff.
Wow. Well, I mean, a lot of this I knew, but I wanted you to say it because I was so blown away by what you're doing and how you're doing it. And it's so innovative. I really think that what you're doing is going to change the way the publishing industry looks at how it produces books and how it brings in authors and how that, and I love the equity holders. You know, I love that there is equity and that everybody has a stake. And I don't know much about it, but what I do know is that it's not that way now in the broader publishing industry. And just, boy, it's really fantastic that you have gone from someone who, you know, loves books, use books to get her through grief and, you know, tough spots in your life, to someone who has made a business out of this, but also that you're doing what you love, which is such a model for anybody. It doesn't need to be books, but this is possible, right? To do what you love and yes, be profitable and yes, include people and yes, build community. But to be able to do what you love, that's the dream, I think. Well, I don't know if it's a dream for everybody. It's my dream. And I'm in awe. I salute you. I thank you for doing this. And you have a book out right now, right? That just came out in November?
Yes. Another outgrowth of the podcast is once I would talk to authors, that was like not enough for me. Right. They would touch on topics. And I'm like, well, go back to that. It's only 30 minutes. I'm sure this happens to you all the time. Yeah. So I would go back to the guests and authors and say, how would you feel about writing an essay about that marathon you ran? Or what about that death that you obliquely mentioned or that professor or whatever. And at first I was going to make it a big website, which essentially it kind of is now with Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. But during the pandemic, I took all those essays and just started putting them up on my own website instead of designing a big splashy website. Then I stopped. So I did it. It was called We Found Time because we were all at home and I wanted to put out content, and I was already doing this Instagram live show during the pandemic for authors, and I thought that might help people. And then I stopped because I thought, foolishly, that by August of 2020, things would be totally back to normal. So I stopped it, and I was like, I wonder how many essays we ended up putting out. And I put them all into a Word file, and I was like, oh, this is a book. It's long enough to be a book. But I wanted it to come out right away. So I sent it to the only publisher I knew who I'd had a meeting with randomly, and they had said they could get books on the shelves in 2 weeks or something if there was an emergency. So I just called them, and I said, I don't know how you do it, but I want to work with you. They're Skyhorse Publishing. So, of course, once they talked, they were like, well, not exactly 2 months. So, you know, it took like 6 months, but I still got that first anthology out by February of 2021, when I actually had COVID myself, which ironically, I'm like, you can't make this stuff up. And then I wanted even more. So while that was in the process of coming out, we had other authors that I really wanted to include and or had submitted and it was too late or whatever. And I decided to do a second one. And I call that Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. It's less pandemic focused and just about things moms don't have time to do. And it's not just for moms. It's like there's Malcolm Mitchell, this former Super Bowl champion and a literacy advocate, wrote an essay. And there are men and gay men and women and all types of people writing. But that just came out last week. And it has 53 essays by 49 best-selling and notable authors, and they're in snackable size, so you can just read one essay at a time, and yeah.
I love that, snackable size. I'm so getting that because it's such a great idea, and it's something that Scott and I were actually talking about for this podcast in a different way, but just like, what if we made a book of the stories, you know, that because we have such really unique stories, only one stories on the show, and we think about them for a long time sometimes afterward, and like, that would be a really great idea. But I'll be buying that book and reading it. And I need snackable size because I'm a mom too and a working person and in a relationship that I want to make time for. So snackable is perfect.
I like your idea of calling your anthology Only One Stories.
Yeah. Thank
that's
you.
Really nice.
Thank
yeah.
you. Scott's writing that down right now.
I think that's really great. I would buy that.
Just really quickly, you have a children's book as well?
I do. I actually got like a 2-book deal for children's books from this Penguin Random House imprint called Flamingo. And it's about a character named Princess Charming.
Oh.
And in the first book, she can't seem to find her thing. And then she realizes her thing is that she never gives up.
Like you.
I hadn't thought of it. I actually modeled it after my daughter. But yeah, maybe you're right.
Absolutely. I love that. That's great that you modeled it after your daughter. But I mean, your thing was like, you know, you're Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. It was always with you, right?
I think that's, I love how you said that. And I think actually it's for most people. I've had so many people come and be like, God, I wish I knew what my thing was. And it's just, you know, what do you love to do? I never thought I could turn this into anything. And to your point earlier about everybody having a book in them. I mean, in truth, everybody has a story. This is life. How could you get through life without story? So if you turn that into a book, that's just one way of getting down your stories. So
beautiful, beautiful. We're going to leave it right there because that was a perfect ending line. Just tell me, how can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Zibby Owens, and my website is zibbyowens.com. And my podcast is Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Listen, click, scroll, all of that. Find this woman, read, and listen, and thank you. Thank you so much, Zibby.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Thanks, Zibby.
Thank you so much for listening. The Only One in the Room is produced by the creative genius that is Scott Slaughter and edited by the uber-talented polymath Christina Barcy and her team at Avon House Productions. Hey, you're still listening? Good. Please subscribe right now while you're thinking about it, quick, before you forget. And be sure to like and leave us a review of the show. Want to connect with some other Only One listeners? Be sure to join our private Only One in the Room Facebook group or check out Patreon on our website for exclusive content that you won't find anywhere else. And do you have an Only One in the Room story that you'd like to share? Please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.